This panel is going to cover subchapter 5. It's a primer in current trends, and the moderator is going to be Judge Rodriguez. So just real quick introductions on the panelists. We have Judge Rodriguez, who is the chief judge for the United States Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of Texas. And to his left, we have Lynn Butler, who's a partner at Hush Blackwell. He's been in practice for 29 years. I saw that.
33,
I'm sorry.
Seems like 50.
You need to update your bio. And to his left, we have Shane Tobin, who's a trial attorney with the United States Trustee Program. I think he's a pretty well-known commodity here, and we're happy to have him. And then to his left, we have Brendan Singh, and Brendan Singh is a founding partner of Tran Singh LLP. Join me in welcoming our panel.
All right, thank you everyone for staying for this particular session, and we hope you'll enjoy our presentation. We're gonna break this up into three parts. The prior SBRA conferences maybe that you've attended or sessions talk about the beginnings and what it's all about. We're gonna talk about next steps and what happens or what's supposed to happen after filing. So Lynn's gonna cover post-filing next steps. Shane is gonna cover pre-confirmation issues that may be coming up in the next steps, and then Brenda's going to wrap it up with post-confirmation, how to wrap up your subchapter 5 case. So with that, I'll turn it over to Lynn.
There you go. Hello. Yeah, one of the changes on sub 5 that you'll probably know about is that when you file the case, where in an ordinary chapter 11 you have 105 status conferences that are discretionary or at someone's request, in subchapter 5 they're mandatory. The court has to hold the conference. The debtor has to file a report 15 days prior to the conference. We'll talk about this in a minute. The standard on getting that conference moved is fairly strict. And at the end of the day, I've seen a couple of these conferences. Some have utilized it, and we'll talk. Some have utilized it very effectively. It's a persuasive event. You're talking to the judge. You're telling the judge where the case is going, and then some have not. So today the lesson is try to be persuasive, because that's the one mandatory time you're in front of the judge in this case prior to confirmation, and most likely you're going to have a bunch of creditors there looking at you. Now, the one thing that 11 – oh, do I have the clicker?
I had to.
I've got it.
Oh, yeah. Do I do that?
Yep.
Okay. Now, the 1188 is the statute that tells you got to have a status conference, but it doesn't tell you necessarily what's going to happen in the conference. It doesn't tell you how the court's supposed to schedule it, or details that what the court will want, what you should provide, or what exactly you're supposed to do there as the court or the creditor. What it does do is that you as the debtor attorney are supposed to explain, okay, what's the plan? Where are you going? What is the literal plan of reorganization? What are the issues? And again, it's your time not only to telecast to the court, but also the creditor bodies, especially if you have an antagonist, what they're supposed to do.
And Lynn also, I mean, in the statute, it does require that you explain to the court what steps you have taken to obtain or at least propose a consensual plan. Right?
Exactly.
So it's really more substantive in that area.
It should be. And that's the thing. But by the time you have that status conference, you should have your negotiations well in hand with your creditors, along with any participation or discussions that you have with the sub 5 trustee. And we'll get to that in a minute. So, as far as the timing goes, and these are strict deadlines. We're going to talk about what happens if you miss them in a minute. The code gives you 60 days from the petition date to have the status conference, and then 90 days to get your plan formulated. And the issue is that the extension for those deadlines, if you look at the statutory standard for the extension, it's fairly unique in the bankruptcy code. They don't use those words any other place that I could find, at least in my copy. But it focuses on really the responsibility of the debtor. What did the debtor do? Is this a problem outside the scope of the debtor's control? So in a way, it's subjective because it depends upon how far down the road you are. But it's also objective because it's a justly standard.